It's truly a blessing to get to be with you again. I say, this is real. This is the wow moment. I get to share with you what I believe the Lord would want me to tell you, and things that I say, I see this, I hope you see this, and maybe you'll see other things in this particular scripture. I want to dive in. I want to get soaked and satisfied by God's goodness and His mercy through His Word. This is the major theme of this portion of Colossians, of being saturated with the Word of God. Most Christians are malnourished. They aren't well nourished. And so the song you just heard is a perfect, perfect musical reminder of the necessity that when life is blowing apart, are you saturated with the Word of God? So that in spite of that horrible and probably not welcomed trial, it might feel like that. James says to consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. But there are times where trials are these things that we just sort of want to lift away or push away. But I'd like to read this section of Colossians chapter 3. I think it will build upon where we were last week about our true citizenship. Are you enjoying your true citizenship? It's not here, it's in heaven. You're preparing in much of your time here on earth. So here we go. Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 to 17. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and in hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Practical stuff, often challenging to put forth in our lives to the level that we say, missed that one, didn't quite get it done there. And last week we looked at the laying hold of our true identity, seeking and setting our minds above where Christ is. Remember, we serve a risen Savior. That's the glorious news that we never ever stop proclaiming here. When we placed our personal faith and trust in Jesus, change occurred. The Bible says that you are born again. Something so amazing took place. The Apostle Paul describes it this way. He saved us not because of the righteous things which we have done, but because of His mercy. He washed away our sins, giving us new birth and new life through the Holy Spirit. He generously poured out the Spirit upon us through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Note takers. That's Titus 3, 5, and 6. Peter described it as he was writing the scriptures also. In chapter 1 of 1 Peter, at verse 23, he says, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. When Jesus says, believe Him, a transaction takes place, one that can't be broken. Unless that occurs, you have missed the atoning sacrifice that was done for you. And so you've not applied the atoning sacrifice to your life. And so there's no life. Jesus says, without Him, there is no life. He is the life giver, not just in the physical realm that we all get to enjoy, but there's real life that each of us needs, and that's new life from God. And Jesus was very specific with Nicodemus when He says, you must be born again. This isn't optional. This, and Chuck Colson didn't make this up. Chuck Colson got a lot of credit when he wrote the book Born Again. Many of you read that back in the 70s during the Watergate scandal, and Chuck went to prison. And during that scandal, he shared his personal journey to faith in Jesus Christ. And the title of the book was Born Again. But we don't thank so much for Chuck Colson for coining the term. We thank Jesus Christ in the Word of God that talks about a new birth. And so the practical outworking of that will be recognizing your new true status, underline this, daily, if not hourly. This is real life. Your true citizenship is now with God. And that's what the first 11 verses of chapter 3. And to a church at Colossae, this is who this letter was written to, they were now being encumbered by things outside of Jesus Christ. They were getting away from the things. They were returning to things that just really didn't matter. And they were being fooled. And there's religious enticements in this world. Many Christians get involved with them. And they don't know how to steer away from them. And they think, if I just dab a little bit of this and a little bit of that and mix it all up, it's all good. It's not all good. You don't want to be messing with things that are outside the record of the Scripture for your hope or for your encouragement. It's just not correct. You're basing your hope on something that is not biblical. You want to go with the record that God says. And that's in the Word of God. Amen? Amen. All right. That's a sign of alertness and awakeness. Okay. Good. So here Paul says in chapter 3, verse 12, "Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering." There have been many questions of people think they wonder if I'm of the elect. That is a huge battle right now that is front and center. People have all ways of describing how this would look. If you keep persevering, called the perseverance of the saints in the reform circles, that somehow that's the evidence that you're truly born again. Now that sounds good in one sense, but what about the low moments? What about the difficulty? What about the weakness of your own flesh that you have failed to understand how that was already crucified with Christ? This elect term, I believe, can be simply understood. And I have the word chosen, because those are two words that some translations will use the word chosen. Some, my translation, New King James, the only right one. No, I'm kidding. That's just a little jab there. But some people like the KJV, NKJV, that's specifically what I use to preach. But this idea that when God saved you, when you believed the gospel, when you understood what Christ did for you and believed, you became part of the elect. God didn't make that choice for you. Some are sent to heaven and some are damned to hell. That's the big battle right now. So you have no choice in the matter. That is not according to Scripture. Elect is that you have, because you believed Christ, you are chosen. You are in Christ. God bestowed his kindness upon you. We talk about, in our church, we have a benevolent fund. People will say to me oftentimes, "I want to pay you back. Can I pay back the benevolent fund?" Well, if you want to give to the benevolent fund, give to the benevolent fund. But we're not requiring you payment to the benevolent fund. Benevolence is kindness, and God bestowed his kindness in Jesus Christ upon you. He demonstrated his love for you. He paid for your sin in full on that cross. And all he says is, "You trust me that I've done that for you." And that's the question that you should be saying. I know I've done that. I'm not holding on to any other thing. I'm not worried about so much of how bad I've been. And yeah, we all know some of us have had a history that we're not proud of. But see, Christ atoned for all sin. And the moment you say it's not up to the way I think I'm so unworthy. How many people have entered the unworthy club? Okay. I've been there a few times, okay? And sometimes that unworthy club is really more about your own stubborn pride. Is because you're not accepting the fact that an atoning, full, complete sacrifice was made for you. Are you still struggling with sin? Are you still doing things that you say, "I don't know why I keep doing this. Perhaps I'm not truly chosen. Perhaps I'm not truly of the elect." If you believed the gospel, you believed the record that God gave that he sent Christ for you, the moment you believed, you became part of the elect, the chosen. There's so much trouble with these terms. Predestination, foreknowledge. And somehow people focus so much, and I think we should understand what the terms mean. It's You get on the bus and the bus is going to Boston, that bus is predestined to get there. If you believe in Christ, God promises that he's going to conform you into Christ's image. Now, you may get to heaven resisted the whole way, but ultimately, when you see Jesus, you're going to be like him. And that's what the judgment seat of Christ will sort out. What did you do with the time that you had, what I had, to serve Christ here? Was it done through the power of the Holy Spirit? And that's where this passage of Scripture comes in so handy. Because by the time we get to the end of, I believe, this short section, 5 verses, we're going to see what it takes to be truly the Spirit-filled men and women, boys and girls, that we want to be. Are you ready? Okay, because I'm ready and I'm going to keep going. Okay, so all of these things should represent our lives. Tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, and long-suffering. These are things, these are also known as the fruit of the Spirit. It's awesome to meet somebody who can grant forgiveness. Hey, sorry, I didn't mean to offend you. It's okay. I forgive you. You know, I'm in the club of the forgiven. Are you in the club of the forgiven? You know, you see people fighting at funerals and weddings and no one will talk to each other. These people need Jesus. All right? That didn't happen at this one yesterday. I'll be clear about that. But I mean, we don't know if that side of the family will come because we haven't talked to them in 25 years and they might come. And actually, we might need police on hand. Okay, really? It's going to be an interesting funeral. Sometimes Christians, sometimes human beings are so blind to how messy their life is that they continue to compound their mess for a lack of knowledge and a lack of true understanding. And they can die and go to hell because they missed the greatest demonstration of forgiveness in Jesus Christ, because there is bitterness in the sinner's heart. And if it doesn't get arrested, and that's what's really happening, the moment you see, you got what you needed the moment you believed. You got it. You just got to be living and growing and developing. You got to get it. It's like, get it. I can't soak this in enough. And this brain sometimes acts very thick. How about yours? I don't want this brain to be thick. I want it to be filled with the Word of God so that when I get into these situations, I can say, okay, I get it. And so much the Spirit of God is, I believe, constantly cheering us on, rooting for us. And some of this is, most people can get caught up in these things. It's like the minutia details and everything is, it's everything's just perfect. It's not that. It's that, do you celebrate what Christ has done for you? Sometimes the details can just, that's what was going on in the Galatian church. These people are back under the Ten Commandments. And if you think about the whole Jewish nation, they invented about 608 to go along and reinterpret the Ten. That doesn't save people. If anything, it makes you super critical. That's what they were. They were a critical community of one another. And see, when the cross is the full representation of God's perfection and what Jesus did for us, get in on it. Get in on it. And then learn through the strength, because when you place faith in Christ, you became born again. And there's a new nature right now that just needs to be fed and made strong, so that when you serve the Lord, it's like, you know what? I do this because I want to. I do this because I want to. No one's forcing me here. I get to do this. That's what you should say. I get to do this. This is fun. Yeah. Better than Disney. But, and it's hard. This is hard work. I'm going to tell you, this is hard work. I stand up here week after week, and my family, you guys, like, sometimes I feel like our family is like, there's like a little cyclone going on in that house. Like, and people say to me, hey, there he goes again, around here in the church. Yeah, it's busy, and I look forward to seeing what God wants to do through this group of people. And while we have time, so you know you're chosen, and I hope you know that. If you're in Christ today, you're chosen. And you should just settle that once and for all. Stop wrangling with words that have already been defined by the Scripture. You've got to know context in Scripture too. That's the other thing. People will try to throw context out the window on some of these truths, and you get hung up on them. And Satan, guess what Satan's number one strategy is? get you moved off of security. That's it. And you're looking back at yourself, and you don't take Romans chapter 7 and say, you know what, yeah, there's still stuff in me that I'm not happy about, but it's no longer I who do it, but it's sin that dwells in me. You know, thanks be to God who took care of this for me. I don't have to be living with these constant reminders of my failure. Yeah, do I want to fail? I don't. But if I do, there's one who already paid it for me, and I'm moving forward. That's the secret. We want to keep moving forward. Paul says, I'm forgiven here, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so also you must do. When we're unwilling to forgive, we're basically saying, well, I guess the cross really wasn't, I guess I don't fully understand what happened there. That's really what you're showing. You're showing your misunderstanding. Who do you think could have held a grudge against his accusers and his enemies, right? The Lord Jesus Christ, but he forgives them. You think of Joseph, you think of other wonderful Daniel and others in the scripture, you know, wrongfully accused. And they continue to serve the Lord. Sometimes this is an area that you will need extra prayer on. There are times where just looking inside your own family situation or a friend or a betrayal or something like that can get really yucky. And a lot of sometimes it happens in the church. And that people start to form bitternesses against one another. And that's some of the stuff we're covering in our membership class, is that you want to guard against that. Paul says, don't let any root of bitterness rise up within you. It defiles many. So there's a defiling factor of bitterness. And you should ask God, Lord, if I'm bitter, just help me to see that I'm just, can I just be honest if I'm bitter? If I'm hurt? Sometimes it's just maybe getting with someone to pray with on those things. And not losing sight of that. The reason you forgive and I forgive is because we have been fully and completely forgiven. Even though sometimes, and this isn't throwing out all caution, sometimes you're going to have to use a lot of wisdom. This isn't just a blanket, I'm going to get walked on over and over again. This is why the believer needs wisdom. Most of the mistakes and the problems that we have in our Christian life is a lack of wisdom. It's like, I fell into that again because I'm trying to be really nice as a Christian. Well, no, you actually created an atmosphere that you weren't wise. You weren't discerning. And in your kindness right there, or your willingness to go too far with somebody who's already proven not to be trustworthy, they walked all over you again. Okay? So it's not that you're not helping them, but you want to know how. We want to know how to help people. This is where sometimes enabling and stuff like this can just go on for years. And we got to stop that. Bearing with one another. Forgiving. And a lot of this is just in the simple context of the local church. You know that if you're growing in Jesus Christ and in his love and knowledge, growing in knowledge of his word, don't expect people who don't know Christ to think the way you think. Okay? And that's why I think Jesus is pretty clear about some of those, you know, casting your pearls before swine, you know. The precious truths of the Word of God belong, really, to the believer, the one who embraced it. I think Christians need to be wise in their evangelism. You know, share Christ. I'm all for that. I want people in this church, but I want people who want to grow in this church, you know. I want people who really say, you know what, I've had enough, and somehow I heard about that wonderful singing community from Walmart or from Harbor Freight, and I felt summoned over here, and I need help. So you want to mature the believers in your midst. You want to help new believers get grounded in the Scripture. We are not just a social group. We are the blood-bought children of God because of what Jesus Christ did for us, and we're happy about it. I'm happy about this. I love it. I love the fact that I can celebrate my daily forgiveness. It was once and for all. Paul says, the psalmist says it this way, as far as the east is from the west, so he removed, I read it earlier at the beginning of the service, so he removed our transgressions from us. How far is the east is from the west? Keep going. Just keep going. That's how God has removed your sin from you. Paul says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He died for us. Even before we showed up on planet Earth, there was already a perfect sacrifice waiting to be received. Above all, Paul would say here in verse 14, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. Do you ever smooth something over? You ever have a crack in a piece of wood and that wood's broken? It's like, oh man, remember I made a, I can't throw it away. I don't know what's with me. It's not even worthy of Dorothy's swap shop over in Bourne. But I made a table in wood shop in eighth grade. Somehow it's, I still think it's going to get used someday. It only stands about this high. But I broke the side off one day. I just broke it off. Hey, a little glue works, you know. So I put it back together, restained it, and it's like it's been, hey, the table's perfect all over again, right? And so often I think that's what love does. It smooths over those gaps. And the Christian community can say, you know, I feel loved here. I am not worthy, but I feel loved here. I feel so loved here because this is where Christ is. And you know, I hope every Sunday feels somewhat like a party here, even if it's not Jack's birthday. But truly, because there's so much to celebrate in the life of the believer. Paul would say, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Okay, the number one peace that you need is to know that what Jesus did for you. That's peace. That's true peace. It's not just, you know, just I'm going to think peaceful thoughts. I want to go look at the ocean, you know. When you look at the ocean, recognize that, you know, your sin's been thrown in the deep, right? They can't be remembered. He'll remember them no more. Take the word of God, and even if you like going to peaceful places and places that you can get some time, meditate on the word of God and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. When the church has the bond of perfection working through it, that they're letting the peace of God rule in their hearts, it creates an atmosphere that is attractive and powerful. Not just attractive, but powerful. Hey, these are the people that keep moving on. Whoa. These people who understand each other and know, hey, I was in that mess too. And we're not the pointing the finger community. Yes, if we need to encourage somebody, part of the church teaching that in our membership is talking about, hey, if something's going awry in the church, we need to deal with it. Because guess who the enemy is? Satan. And he would love to see Grace Lighthouse Fellowship utterly destroyed and this place not meeting on a Sunday morning. It's a miracle, really, that this many people get together and want to be together and study God's word and look at the scripture together. That's a good thing. That's a happy thing. You were called in one body, and be thankful. We are the body of Jesus Christ. We are a living organism. We represent him now. And the question is, how are we doing? Key thing to that is just recognize to be thankful. You know, when we were away in Florida, I said to somebody recently, I said, you know, sometimes when you just get away, you realize what you really got. You realize how good it is, really. You know, it's something that you know, sometimes you need that perspective. Thankfulness is a way, keep reminding yourself, wow, I get another day to serve the Lord. Thank him. Wow. And let the word of Christ dwell in you. How many of you try to cook in somebody else's kitchen? Why is it such a difficult thing? Because you don't dwell there. You don't know that kitchen. It's crazy. You know, if I come over to your kitchen, by the time I'm done looking for your stuff, every cabinet and every drawer is open. It's like, where is it? And I still do that in my own kitchen. It's like, my wife will say to me, can you please close the 11 cabinets? You know, yes, honey, I'll close the 11 cabinets. But the part of this is that when you dwell in something, you learn to know it. You know, your drawer doesn't make any sense to anybody else except you because you dwell in that atmosphere. And that's this idea that when we dwell, when we let the word of Christ dwell in us richly with all wisdom, it's like we're soaking it in. It's just coming to us. We love this word. And see yourself, see the best perspective to come into the scripture once you're saved is to know that if God is for you, who can be against you? So if occasionally you feel the scripture slapping you upside the head, he loves me. These are love slaps. He's encouraging me because he wants me to succeed. And so you can embrace the word of God for all that it is because you realize the true judgment already happened. You passed from death to life. And now you're just enjoying it. So read the scripture. Some people, like, you know, they look at the Old Testament and they look at the harshness of God. Well, God had an elect nation, Israel, and he taught them, and they were stubborn. But they are a test case to show all of humanity what humanity is like in their own way without God. And if they have God, what life can still be like, as you might struggle against that. But guess what? God is faithful. If God is for you, who can be against you? And Israel is the number one demonstration that God is faithful. My daughter learned her first Bible verse from this book up here on the screen. Let me see. Okay. So it was, and she had a really cute little lisp at the time. And she learned, let Christ's word live in you. And that's what it says. And we'll go to the next page there. And that was the scripture, let Christ's words live in you. First Bible verse ever learned, 9:26:02. Almost 2.5 years old. You want to see you're at 2.5? Or 3? Okay, we got a little more. This is her third birthday somewhere. There she is, this girl that sings to you every Sunday. That's her. She grew up. She's going to be 19 on Tuesday. And she's taking a college exam tomorrow that will earn her, we're praying, her 90th college credit at 19. So, 18. Right, before 19, April Fool's, right? It's tomorrow, but she's, no, you're telling me the truth. And guess who that little guy is? Aaron, stand up for a second. Show him how tall you are now. Yeah. All right. Thank you. My kids are grown up. But Aaron, we believe, has about 100 Bible verses memorized in his head. And just ask him. He's like a machine gun. He'll just keep him going. And I think Amanda was on that couch with him, probably telling him John 3:16. Aaron, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. So you can learn the word of God early. And I look at this set of scriptures and I think about how important it is that we teach our children well. The psalmist says, this is Job. He says, I've not departed from the commandment of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Wow. Okay. Let's think about Job for a second. A righteous man, the most righteous man in all the earth. He was obviously going through lots of difficulty. How do you think he was fortified? By the word of God. That's why these wonderful stories in the Old Testament, and you see the life of a saint in the Old Testament emerge. Not all of them emerge. There's success is planned. Success is planned. And you take a guy like Job, who struggled and knew the word of God. Yes, he had his moments. Yes, he had his low points. But he could come to the point in his own walk with God and say, I've treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Do you know that all the Bible is the word of Christ, where the scripture says, let the word of Christ dwell in you? Do you realize he is the word of God, that the word became flesh and dwelt among us? So when you're reading scripture, you're reading God-breathed, backed words by the Lord Jesus Christ himself, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's useful. It can be used for correcting, rebuking, teaching, and righteousness. And so letting the word of Christ dwell in you is a key ingredient for you to remain a successful Christian. And not only that, a spirit-filled Christian. It is not just the red letters. That's the other thing. I read the red letters in my Bible. Well, good. That's great. But all the word of God it's in the same color, okay? It's called God-breathed. And you want to learn the Bible. So all the word is the word of God. The Bible says that Jesus is the word. Heaven and earth will pass away, says the psalmist, but my words will never pass away. And this final portion here, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Yesterday, I was at and was able to participate in the memorial service held for Kelly Remick. When Kelly was born in 1970 to Bob and Brenda Remick, Kelly was their first child. The doctors confirmed that Kelly only had half a heart and that she would likely not even live until 2 days old. Well, this past Wednesday, at the age of 49, Kelly went to be with Jesus. She went home to heaven. She made numerous close friends with those in the medical community in Boston. And as she was planning her own funeral, she asked her dad, "I know it's stupid, or I know it sounds stupid or funny, but I want to have everybody sing 'Jesus Loves Me' at my funeral service." He's like, "That's not stupid." Kelly knew Jesus loved her. So much so that the medical community in Boston loved this girl so much that they actually would ask her to pray for them. Someone said yesterday that when Kelly was in the hospital and having tons of fluid drained out of her body, they actually thought she was going to die right around Christmas time. She lived another 3 months, and she keeps surprising all the doctors. Everybody would just say, "How did Kelly keep going? How does Kelly's body keep going?" And my wife babysat Kelly when she was young, very young. Beth would say, "Kelly used to look blue when I'd come over. Here's a little girl that only has half her heart functioning." But she lived her life for Jesus Christ. And yesterday her father read this and he said, "You know, I don't read this at many funerals. A lot of times things get thrown around at funerals that can be, you know, they're nice things." But he says, "I like to read this for people that I know serve the Lord well." And it's called this, called the dash. He says, "I read of a man who stood to speak at a funeral of a friend. He referred to the dates on the tombstone from the beginning to the end. He noted the first came, the date of birth, and spoke of the following date with tears. But he said what mattered most of all was the dash between those years. For that dash represents all the time they spent alive on earth, and now only those who love them know what little that little line is worth. For it matters not how much we own, the cars, the house, the cash. What matters how we live and love and how we spend our dash. So think about this long and hard, and are there things you'd like to change? For you never know how much time is left that still can be rearranged. To be less quick to anger and to show appreciation more in love, the people in our lives like we've never loved before. If we treat each other with respect and more often wear a smile, remembering that this special dash might only last a little while. So when your eulogy is being read with your life's actions to rehash, would you be proud of the things they said about you and how you lived your dash?" So here's the point. I believe the dash, the most important way to handle the dash is to let the word of Christ dwell in you. That is the perfect place for the Holy Spirit to work and make you what God wants you to be. That's what matters. Letting the words of Christ dwell in us richly. Knowing the word of God. Letting anything that I do in my life be directed by the Holy Spirit. With all wisdom, the scripture tells us right here. There's so much wisdom we need in these days. This world is a mess. It's not getting any better. But guess what? God promises to lead his dear children along, as we sung about last Sunday. The Holy Spirit is our teacher. He is our instructor. He is our power. But he needs something to work with, and that's the word of God. Let the word of Christ dwell in you. And I'm pointing this finger right back at me. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you so much for the awesome hope that the word of God has to keep our minds fixed on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Father, thank you for teaching us Jesus, for teaching us him, that in him are all the treasures of wisdom, that if we get to know him and let the word of Christ dwell in us richly, we can be so effective that our dash can matter. Our dash can truly matter. So, Father, I pray for this congregation that all of us today would say, I want the word of Christ to dwell richly in me so that the things that the people around me need truly have a spirit-filled person to do just what they need, because I'm assigned by you to love them, to understand their need, to be able to speak. And that's a spiritual word oftentimes for us, Lord. We want to know what the right spiritual words are to say in a situation. Thank you for your great mercy. Father, I pray for anyone in this room who's struggling today, who just says, you know what? I need more of the word of Christ to dwell in me. If that's you this morning, slip up your hand. I'll just pray for you right now. Lord, I put my hand up with these. I thank you for the honesty of the heart that says, I want my life to know this word. Lord, some of us need to spend more time knowing this book better, reading it more, understanding it more, and seeing ourselves not as the victim, but the more than the conqueror of Christ Jesus, who loved me and gave himself for me. Lord, help us stop throwing our own pity parties. Help us to just take you at your word and move into some new directions that you have for us, for this church, for what you want, for our Easter services, for anything that we do as this church as an outreach, that it would be done by the strength of God, by his Spirit's power in our lives. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.